This is the Annie Fry Show.
These officers are doing a tremendous job. They're great patriots. If you expose them because of, you know, statements like have been made by Democrats and others on the left, usually, mostly, I think probably exclusively, you put them in great danger, tremendous danger. And it's sort of funny when people picket in front of Columbia, in front of Harvard, and they have masks on, more than masks. I mean, you can't see anything. Nobody complains about that. But when a patriot who works for ICE or Border Patrol puts a mask on so that they won't recognize him and his family, so they can lead a little bit of a normal life after having worked so hard and so dangerously, there's a problem with that. So they have their, this is why this is the problem with the Democrats. They have a lot of bad things going on in their heads. They've really become very, they've lost their confidence, number one, and they're really, they become somewhat deranged.
They become somewhat deranged. President Trump, this was from yesterday. He's talking about the masks that are being worn by ICE agents as they're moving across the country. And that's our question to you. The Democrats say, unmask the ICE agents. Why do they get to hide their identity? Why do they get to, be, you know, their words, behave the way they're behaving? And we don't get to see who they are. Take the masks off of the ICE agents. Now, at the same time, we see that they're aggressively doxing anybody who they possibly can, and they're going after these individual agents, but taking it a step further, going after their families, making wild and violent threats against them. And we've seen multiple instances where, because these ICE agents are present in certain places, they're being ambushed. And now, how many people were arrested for attempted murder just the other day? A handful of them.
It's close to a dozen.
The question on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll today, which you can find on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, should ICE agents wear masks? President Trump speaking there as to why they are. But I think it's important to dive a little bit deeper into why this is even being discussed. And I think what Americans collectively hate the most is hypocrisy. Watching people sway in the wind with what their particular stance is on anything, because they just need to suit the end that they've already determined. The ends justify the means. Whatever you need to do to get there, in their mind, all immigration, not just good, but necessary. And if you're talking about the Democrats who are in power, it's necessary to reshape the power structure in this country. So we have to figure out a way to get a bunch of people in here. They figured that part out. You can tell they're making this up as they go. You can tell that they have this ends justifies the means mentality, because they just know what they want and they are willing to do whatever they need to do to continue to satisfy the end that they have determined. There isn't a right and wrong in anything, because that can all adjust along the way if that's what needs to happen in order to get to the end that was predetermined before any of this begun. I don't know how long ago, like, when did the immigration problem really start in? How many decades have we been facing what looks to be a contrived plan to bring people into this country?
Ooh, contrived. Gosh, I would say that probably started under Trump. It's been a problem since before Trump, but I would say the effort to expedite it became a problem in reaction
what
to
I
Trump.
What I want to know is, when did it become a political effort to use people for a political end by importing them into the country? Because Donald Trump saying build the wall in 2015 and 2016, that establishes that the problem had already begun.
Yes.
Obama being the deporter in chief indicates to me that the problem had already begun. And President Barack Obama was reacting to it. He was the one who initially was part of the Gang of Eight discussion back and forth with Senate on the DACA program, which I remind you, when DACA was created and they were talking about the people who were brought here by their families. Think about that. There's kind of another marker. They were talking about people who have been brought to this country as minors, babies maybe, but like no will of their own. they weren't able to say, "Mommy, that's not right, and I'm not going." And they're like, "Okay, never mind, we won't do it." That's not how that works. You are a child. You go with your parents. Your parents make a decision that goes against the legal structure to come into this country. They bring these kids in, and these kids don't know anything in their life other than America. Now they've got to go back to Guatemala or Ecuador or, you know, some Venezuela, Mexico, maybe. And they've never known anything other than America. That was the idea during the Obama administration that said there is a finite group of people. And I think that those people are about our age. I think DACA extends to people who are our age, who are probably in their 40s right now.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So then that means the problem's been going on for 60 years, right?
Yeah.
You'd think that the people bringing them in would have to be, God willing, at least 20 years old. Maybe not. 60 years of problem? When did we decide to not police our borders? Because I don't think at the beginning of this problem, I don't think people were like, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to gain power and in a century, the Democrats are going to control everything. Problem begins. Democrats go, we can exploit this.
You and Brad went down to the border.
McAllen, Texas, mm-hmm. where this ambush just took place.
And I remember a story coming out of, I don't know whether it was you guys talking to somebody or just something I heard at that time, that people used to swim in the Rio Grande. Like, yeah. American citizens,
yes.
you should just swim and,
yes.
and play in the river.
Like, you go to the Hoosa River?
Yeah.
You have a fun summer time? Same in the Rio Grande.
And the time was 1970s is when they said that people were still doing that. So it was by the 80s that had started
that's
to dwindle
years.
Off. That would work.
So that, I'm glad that's another interesting point on the timeline. Because what likely happened is people were coming across... Were the gangs controlling Mexico at that time the way they are right now? What did they say? Nine gangs control. I think it was nine gangs control Mexico. But there are some top tier ones. And then there's the people who work underneath them. Was that happening in the 70s? Probably not. But as the border isn't managed from the north or the south, this problem grows. And then it becomes a political poker chip to be utilized in the game for greater gains. And the Democrats saw the opportunity to import people into this country who would then be counted in a census. Like, I can't get out of my head that initially the Democrats were flying people in the dead of night and relocating them to, like, Nebraska. Not just your blue areas, but to other areas. And if you were politically motivated to do that, boy, you could get a lot done before anybody would notice. And it appears as though they did. But enough so that Barack Obama, I don't remember George W. Bush being like super. I was also younger. I was also like in college, in high school and in college. I guess I would have been in mostly college. I don't remember this being a huge issue on George W. Bush's plate, but he had other big issues on his plate. It was a huge issue for Obama, and it was a huge point of contradiction within his party because he was deporting these people, and they were like, you shouldn't do that. So you get to where we are right now. We've got 20-plus million people in this country. The country as a whole has said, this is not sustainable. We can't do this. We need something to change. Donald Trump, we choose you to fix the problem. Cut to today, where you have ICE agents. Now, one of the big concerns that we hear a lot from the Democrats is they hate that they're going into Home Depots and car washes and these places where in communities where oftentimes, I'm using their words, brown people will work. And they say that they're identifying people on skin color and arresting them. If that's happened, that is a tragedy and there should be a reprimand for that. I don't stand by that. But let me just for a second, that story I heard was out of California. Let's take it home to Illinois. Illinois is a sanctuary state. Chicago specifically is a sanctuary city. Brandon Johnson has just reiterated he does not care what the federal law is. The law enforcement in Chicago will not cooperate with ICE. Do you know what ICE wants to do? Do you know what ICE has been begging to do? It's to go arrest people from prison. Criminals, and I'm not talking cross the border criminals, I'm talking hardened criminals. I'm talking people who are in jail because they committed crimes when they were in here. They go to jail, and in states like Illinois, with morons for governors and mayors, like in the state of Illinois and the city of Chicago, Say, no, you will not. We will protect these people in our prisons from ICE. They will protect the criminals who are in prison from having to encounter ICE. I don't know how else to say it more plainly for everybody to go, well, that seems kind of stupid. You know what? In cities like Chicago, in states like Illinois, in cities like Los Angeles, and states like California, if they would let ICE cooperate with law enforcement locally, then they could get the bad guys who are already rounded up in jail and get them the hell out of this country, out of your cities, out of your states, out of this country. If they were permitted to go in and cooperate with local law enforcement, I think that's where their focus would be. And you would have, as a leftist, as a bleeding heart liberal who cares about these people, and I truly, honestly respect when the issue is motivated by what I believe to be true compassion, mercy, and concern for your fellow man. I'm saying that can't be the only factor, but maybe a little drop, a tinge of that on the right side would be good from time to time, too. But you can't think only with your heart and completely dismantle any sort of brain head fact thought that goes into it. If you want to have a conversation about who is being arrested, who is being approached by ICE, and who is being deported, you don't get to say a dang word until your local law enforcement cooperates with ICE so they can handle their business in prisons, in jails. You're protecting all of the bad guys. You're prioritizing the bad guys that are in your prison. You're protecting the people in your prison at the sake of the people in your communities because you want to have a political commercial to run the next time you run for office. It's absolutely shameful, and it's in plain sight. So we can get in these conversations like somebody who cares about this immigrant community, and I think that we should all care about these people. You care about them. And then the fight ends up being, do you think that a cancer-ridden grandma who served her entire life and paid all of her taxes while she's laying in her hospital bed should be able to be deported by ICE? Don't answer that question, because obviously. Respond with the question, do you think that a hardened criminal that's sitting in prison in Los Angeles, California, in Chicago, Illinois, in New York City, New York, do you think that a hardened criminal who's been arrested and is here illegally should get an immediate invitation for ICE to sit down with ICE so that ICE can handle it? Because if you can't answer that question, honestly, I don't even need to bother having the discussion on the other side. Should ICE agents wear masks while the left, while the aggressive progressive left is as kooky as they are and the people who are in power who pay their bills to get them out, pay their bail, Kamala Harris, to get them out of prison? When they've been permitted to behave the way that they're behaving, of course they should be able to wear masks because you guys don't know how to play nice. You guys don't know how to act like grown adults. You guys don't know how to act in a way that is in good faith. All you want is chaos. The more chaos, the more the left is in the headlines. And that's what they want. And I would say I would give them more credit if I could find any opportunity to do it. The only method of the left right now is chaos. And the only policy position they have is, what did Trump do? We want the other thing. And I just don't have time for a conversation with somebody who thinks like that. I bet you don't either. Should ICE agents wear masks? Yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Ryan, in the last 24 hours, but even week, there's been so much stuff to talk to Hans von Spakovsky about. But specifically, I'm going to ask him about the birthright citizenship. Another court has come up and said,
thank you.
You know, sit down. Nope, Trump, you're not allowed to do this. Hans will set us straight.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this conversation because seeing that news, nationwide injunctions were supposed to be a thing of the past, and yet here we are with federal judges still blocking stuff. So I don't know how that works.
If you're thinking long game here, though, every time one of these petulant district judges does something like this, it doesn't even really matter the issue. I think a lot of people are just rolling their eyes. They're like, You're just stringing this out.
You're proving the point.
Yes. Yeah. And when you're stringing it out, Americans are like, come on. This is the best they got. Like I said, they got nothing. Hans von Spakovsky on the Annie Fry Show next.
has sided with the Trump administration for now regarding several thousand probationary federal employees that it's trying to fire. Today, the court allowed the administration to keep the workers off the payroll while lower courts weigh whether the downsizing efforts are legal or not. Two liberal justices, Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson, publicly dissented.
We, the people of the United States,
more perfect.
The third form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Hans, welcome back to the show. Lots to talk about with you today. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Fantastic. This particular court ruling from the Supreme Court talking about the president's ability to, I guess, fire, let go, relieve government federal workers. Can you talk to us about what the president was trying to do? And then we get these courts that come in and say, whoa, not so fast. Now the Supreme Court has ruled.
Well, the president issued an executive order to the Office of Management and Budget and the Office of Personnel Management. OPM is basically the Human Resources Department of the federal government. And the president said to those agencies, I want you to direct the agencies to come up with plans for reorganizations and reductions in force, in other words, terminations of federal employees, consistent with applicable law. That's a direct quote. Consistent with applicable law.
So do it legally.
Right. So the president was saying, look, come up with the plans for how to restructure these agencies and terminate these employees. And the union representing federal employees went to court and immediately got a judge, federal judge, another one of these rogue judges, say, oh, yeah, you're enjoined. You can't do that. It's illegal. Well, that was a ridiculous ruling by that judge, telling the federal government, you can't even plan. You can't even make plans to terminate anybody, even though you said, oh, well, you're only going to do it in compliance with applicable law. So the injunction was appealed, emergency appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the U.S. Supreme Court came back 8-1.
One?
8-1. Yeah, even Kagan and Sotomayor joined in, and they stayed that injunction. And they added in the majority opinion, by the way, that the government was actually likely to succeed in its arguments on the merits that what the president did was lawful. And the only person, once again, who dissented was Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who did her usual these days of engaging in an emotional tirade about this, without any basis for the law. Look, even Justice Sotomayor, she issued a very short concurrence saying, well, these executive orders, I mean, this is clearly directed at Jackson. The executive order has to do with planning the reductions in force. The plans themselves are not before the court. So it would be premature to do anything about this.
Let me ask you a question. You can answer this however you choose to. Is Ketanji Brown Jackson inept? Does she know how to do her job? Is she posing?
I think that every dissent that she has written in the last month proves that she's really not qualified to be on the court. And she's not going to get qualified because she apparently doesn't care about the law or the Constitution. She sees herself, and I think she's kind of admitted this, she sees herself as a political opponent to the president and Republicans in general, and that's her job, to stop whatever Donald Trump is doing, regardless of the law or the Constitution. And unfortunately, I don't think that's going to change.
I mean, it's a lifetime appointment, so there's no like annual job review, correct? She would have
no.
to
no.
Okay, well, It'll be fun to talk about. We'll have maybe a few 8-1 rulings here. Let me talk to you about this news that came out today. Fox News reports a federal judge in New Hampshire blocked President Donald Trump's executive order banning birthright citizenship and granted nationwide class certification status to all infants impacted by the order on Thursday. Hans, break that down for even me to understand.
Well, this judge is exploiting the loophole that was left open by the U.S. Supreme Court. In the birthright citizenship case that was before the Supreme Court, right before they left for the summer, you know, they issued a great ruling saying that you can't issue nationwide injunctions. That's not within the authority of the court. The only exceptions to that are if you certify a class properly under the applicable federal rules, called Rule 23. That rule has very strict standards that apply before you can certify an entire class of people or individuals as being affected by a lawsuit. And in the opinion that Justice Alito wrote, he agreed that you can't have nationwide injunctions, but he wrote a concurrence in which he said, the majority is leaving unanswered and is leaving a loophole by not dealing with the class action situation. And we now have the first judge basically taking advantage of that by certifying this class and not meeting the strict standard. So you're going to have to, the Supreme Court's going to have to come in once again at some point and rule on that issue also. Because otherwise, all these rogue judges, you know, every single one of them now is just going to ignore the tenor of what the Supreme Court was doing and say, oh, yeah, I can't issue nationwide injunction unless I certify a class. Boom. You're certified. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're just going to ignore the requirements for it. And that's what happened in this New Hampshire case.
Is there any recourse for these district judges, these federal district judges? I mean, they're kind of under the same position as the Supreme Court justices, aren't they? Appointed, confirmed, they're there?
Yep, they're there. The only way you can get rid of one of these judges is if you impeach them. Senator Lee... Senator Lee has already mentioned that, not with regard to this judge, but to another just bizarre opinion that came out from another Massachusetts judge who told Congress that they have to continue to appropriate money for Planned Parenthood, which is a federal judge basically telling the House of Representatives and Congress, you have to appropriate money. That is a nutty decision, and that is probably the most radical decision we've seen so far. Totally lawless.
Is there a way for Congress, without having to do like the supermajority in both houses and the legislatures across the country, is there an amendment? Is there a way for Congress to reorder how some of these things? I feel like I've heard some congressmen saying something like maybe there's a panel of district judges in order to put something together. Is there a way to kind of sidestep, okay, this district judge is going to be there and they're going to be there till they decide not to be, but we can spread out the power a little bit in these situations where maybe two out of three judges have to agree?
Well, yeah. In fact, the House of Representatives already passed a bill about a month and a half ago that's now stuck in the Senate that would have done exactly that. It would say that if you are suing the executive branch, the president, over, for example, an executive order, that case has to be assigned to a three-judge panel. So that you won't just have one lone federal judge. You're going to have to convince at least two of those three federal judges that you've got a valid case. And to short circuit and speed this up so that these courts can't delay what the president's doing, that same bill would then said you have a direct appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. That's one remedy Congress, at least the House of Representatives, already proposed.
A real quick transition here to the last subject I want to talk to you about. I'm going a little bit long, but it's important that we discuss this with you. I want to ask your thoughts on the investigation, criminal investigation into former CIA Director John Brennan and former FBI Director James Comey. Hans, you and I have been talking for a decade on this particular issue of the Russia collusion, and you've been spot on. You've been ahead of the game. Is this investigation going to gain steam? Is this going to get us anywhere?
Well, yeah, because the allegations are and what's been turned over. Remember, the CIA has been doing its own investigation of Brennan and what Comey did. And there are indications that the two of them lied under oath when they were asked questions about all of this before Congress. And if, in fact, they did lie, I think there's pretty good chance that this Justice Department will criminally prosecute them for lying to Congress, which is a felony. Now, can they get a conviction in the District of Columbia from a District of Columbia jury? Yeah, that might be problematic, no matter how overwhelming the evidence is. But if they lied, and that's what the evidence seems to show, I have no doubt this Justice Department will probably prosecute them.
The public discovery, too, is also important as well, I would assume.
Yeah, it is.
Hans, a pleasure to have you. So much to discuss. We're glad we could get to it all with you. Come back next week.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's our pleasure. Hans von Spakovsky is our very good friend and legal expert from the Heritage Foundation. YouTube live chat poll. Should ICE agents wear masks? Yes or no? Go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. A quick reminder. Are we giving away tickets again today?
We are.
We are. Collective Soul tickets sometime in the show. Ryan controls everything. It's whenever he decides. And he hasn't told me yet when he's going to do it. I don't even know. But if you keep listening and you hear that Collective Soul song sometime in the show, if you want free tickets, July 17th, we're gonna have them for you. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Are you ready for it?
This is the Annie Fry.
Don't you know? Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. That song performed by Ryan Wiggins there. God, you were just always ready. For the record, if you haven't subscribed to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you might not get our shorts. Brad puts together clips of the show, and a lot of times it highlights guests, interviews we have. Like maybe we just got done speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, and we'll clip something that, you know, defines a point. It's short by name.
You're going to love our shorts.
And every once in a while we throw one out there that is just, I guess, us doing the other things we do on the radio. And yesterday, Ryan was having, if an addict is in withdrawal, then certain behaviors manifest. And Ryan cannot go three steps without telling you one of two things. When he was in Colonial Williamsburg.
That's more recent.
And I have been not eating added sugars intentionally for now 14 days.
Today is day 14. Yeah. Or 15. Yeah, it's right around there. It's almost exactly 14.
That tracks. You said 13 yesterday. So if you corrected me and said 15, I was going to call bologna sausage all over you.
I think it's 14 because it started two Fridays ago.
Yesterday, we were talking in our X's and Y's segment where we ask questions of the opposite sex and try to bring some clarity to things. Like yesterday, we discussed the importance of pockets and dresses for women. And Ethan brought to the conversation something about waffles. And then he started talking about syrup, and Ryan went into this like comatose state. He drooled on himself as the discussion was happening, and then he made a profane statement. And Brad was like, we should show more people that. I'll put it on YouTube.
Yeah, he did that. He got a huge kick out of that. I thought it was perverse.
If you don't want to go like dig it out of the YouTube channel, if you just launch today's live broadcast right now, it's set as the trailer, so you can see it. But You got to watch the video to understand. I'll just say this. The word motorboat came up in the middle of this conversation. And last night, I'm sitting at Principia High School, which I think is in Nevada.
This is
from Illinois.
I don't know where this story goes now.
I know. And it's very far away from my home. Very far away.
Okay. You got me.
Watching baseball. My son had a doubleheader last night. Second game starts at 8:30 p.m.
It's late.
Oh, boy.
Late enough that the game got called at the end. We didn't finish it because the lights went off.
The lights went off?
Off.
Yeah.
It was 11 p.m.
Okay.
They went off at 10:15 p.m. and they had to call somebody like, can you turn the lights back on? And they were like, sure. But they go off for good at 11.
Okay.
So that's how the game got called. We had runners on in the bottom of the last inning and we just ended the game because there was, when I say no light, it's a good thing the moon is full or almost full because that was the light that we had. Beautiful campus, beautiful area. So I'm sitting there, I think it was in the second game, and I'm just scrolling, reading X or whatever, and I come across this video that we put up of Ryan having a withdrawal reaction to Ethan talking about syrup, and it ends with something that has to do with motorboating, and I have this on super quiet because when you're watching 15U or 16, I think it's 16U baseball, parents, like if you go watch an 8U baseball game, those parents are crazy. Dads are yelling, moms are cheering. Then you get a little bit older and then moms are yelling and dads are like, honey, just quiet. You can be quiet. You've said enough. Leave the umpire alone. And then you get to 15, 16U and it's just like, why did my kid not make that play? Or, hey, good job, buddy. It's simple. It just, everything kind of starts to calm down. It's a little less intense in the stands. Super quiet. I'm talking like golf level quiet. And I've got this thing on super quiet and I've got it real close to my face. And I watch this video and it gets to the end where Ryan's like, I'd motorboat that right now. And I laughed so loud. There was like complete silence. And I'm sitting directly behind home plate on top of a picnic table because of the way this field is set up, cackling, embarrassing myself, and it is your fault.
I think it's disgusting that, first of all, you'd make a video out of such a thing.
That's Brad, not
me. It happened really at my valley. And
Ryan, that's this whole show.
Second, that you would laugh at that moment.
So
after
loud.
After the fact.
So loud.
I wasn't even trying to be funny.
I had the opportunity to tell 42 people who were sitting in the stands there last night about our show, and I was like, hiding. Like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was going to happen.
What was the reaction? Did people turn and look at you?
I don't know. I hid my head in shame. But I was exposed. It was so embarrassing. Anyway.
It really would have been worse if they would have turned and been, oh, she's watching a video. Annie, what are you watching? I'm watching my own show.
Well, these people don't know who I am. It doesn't matter if they did or if they didn't. Although I did do a game. There was a rain delay and this umpire, they went to their car because there was like a lightning delay and everything. And I was sitting in the van with my husband and one of my really good friends whose son also plays on this team. And I rolled the window down because I wanted to ask him, like, what's the situation here? Because they were walking towards the field. And I rolled my window down. He goes, are you who I think you are? And I go, I don't know who you think I am.
You had a mask on?
Yeah, I was wearing my mask. The YouTube live tap hole for today. And then he talked. I guess he heard my voice say something to Charlie or something like that. And then he goes, I thought I heard your voice. I recognized that voice. And then I quick looked at the roster that they handed me, and I'm like, that's her. So I always have to try to be on my best behavior. Somebody out there is going to get me at my low moment.
I am always super impressed when somebody just hears me in public and turns around and goes,
listen.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Because that is hard.
Do you say weird things like, I'd motorboat that right now?
Oh, yeah.
And people are like, that's got to be Wiggins.
Real fast. I start asking for tips. Sir, oh, yeah, it is me. You got any money?
Sir, this is an Arby's. Is it Arby's?
You've heard how I am on the radio. It's real. And I could really use whatever you got.
Just eat there.
Just like
over there,
begging.
Licking a sugar cube. I don't know if anybody listening right now was one of the 40 people at that game last night. But if you were, I apologize for disturbing the peace. But I blame these guys. It's really on them. If you want to see the video I'm talking about, Annie Fry YouTube channel, launched today's live video, live broadcast. You can come say hi to us in the comments. You don't have to. But that video, the Motor Potent video, we'll play before this one launches. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Right,
yeah. Catch my flow, cause I'm in the vibes and I got my dough. What's another buckle of mo? Yeah, them looking at.
Is this Brian Adams?
He's doing work.
Wiggins.
Yes.
Oh, Wiggins.
I thought it was Kenny Chesney.
I thought it was Kenny G.
Sean Paul is college for me.
Oh, yeah?
It's all the same.
There's a lot of artists like that.
Yeah, I love it.
I think the same thing about Alicia Keys. I'm like, I like Alicia Keys, but every song I hear, I'm like, it
she always
the
seems
same.
Really emotionally passionate about. You should do an Alicia Keys parody of Longing for Sugar.
If I ain't got what it. Here's the thing, that would take a lot of energy, and you know what I need to get energy?
Yes, protein.
That's correct.
And fiber, since you had your... Well, anyway.
All right, this is Wiggins America. These are... No, I just got what you said. Stop that.
The joke's funny twice with Ryan Wiggins.
By the
you
way,
get
when
it and when he gets it.
When she said earlier that I was drooling on myself, also not true.
I don't think that you can
prove
that.
The video's out there, bud.
Yeah.
You love theater of the mind. Let's go into radio so we can just say anything we want.
All right. Adam Sandler. Get to the point here.
Wiggins America is couples who truly trust each other use these seven Skibbity-doo. Phrases.
Oh, we get paid for this for now.
We always are looking to tomorrow.
Jared, find me another job. Get
All
on
right.
it.
Speaking of Jared.
What about him?
You guys maybe use some of these phrases because you are a couple who truly trust each other.
Now you're Bane. What are you doing? Get this man some added sugar now.
I do seem to.
Pretty soon Christopher Walken's going to creep out here. No joke.
I can keep it together until I start going, and then I can't.
Yeah, but
I don't know if that's sugar or what.
Usually you're the last one to crack. If you're the first one to crack, we can't
We're
do
in trouble.
This.
It's true.
What is the topic
the first
again?
Phrase, couples who truly trust each other use these seven phrases.
I wonder if we use any of these phrases with each other.
Ooh, that's a good question. Me and Brad. Okay, first of all.
Everybody knows.
It's, you see me as I am.
Yeah, I say that to Jared all the time. I say it like this, you really see me as I am.
Ooh, well, you could do anything in that tone.
I bet I use all of these phrases sarcastically.
Can you imagine using this phrase?
No.
But something like it, maybe, but you see me as I am. Or thank you for loving me as I am. I appreciate that I can be myself with you. Getting a little closer to real.
I think these are things you say before you get married. And I think certainly if a man's saying it, it's an investment.
This is something that Katy Perry said to me on Twitter once, but not directly to me, to all of her followers.
You think, you know, she's on the market now.
Is she?
Yeah. Orlando Bloom.
I'm not, so it doesn't really matter.
You're the one who brought it up, buddy.
Well, she said it. I was just a recipient.
Yeah, this is obviously on
one
Katy Perry.
Right. I didn't put it out there.
It was directly in my feed. What am I supposed to think?
You guys are pointing the finger at me. You know how many fingers are pointing back at you? Three.
Four.
Oh. The thumb kind of doesn't. It's three. Number two.
He's deficient, guys. Nutritionally deficient.
All right. We got 3 minutes.
His system is not set up to work like this. Which, unfortunately, downstream means mine's not either.
All right. Couples who truly trust each other would also say, I trust you.
Oh, I say that to Jared.
Huh.
This is from CNBC, by the way. This isn't some ramshackle website.
Ramshackle. So that sounds like the name of the website, the Ramshackle.
Ringing endorsement for CNBC.
Oh, God. He's gone.
Toast.
He's so gone. It's only 12:50. Oh, geez.
Go out and have fun with your friends.
I am his friend. No. I mean, yeah, he could do that.
Did your wife say this, Ethan? Do you say this to your wife?
That's a no.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Not very. We just. I feel like we don't even have time. Yeah, you just kind of like.
Oh, you don't have time. Okay.
We're both very busy people.
My wife actually says this to me. because I don't do enough with my friends. So anytime there's an opportunity, she's like, you should go hang out with your friends.
You do more with your friends than most couples that I know.
Is it different when you once you get past
you take
having
trips
kids?
With them.
I do a once a year guys trip.
That's
and
a
you guys
lot.
Know about
that's
that
cool.
for
that
sure because
cool.
I'm not here when I'm doing it.
I credit you for being able to do that. But I think you do this more than way more than most couples.
Here's the thing though. Those guys, I don't
you
see
don't
them
really
the
like
rest
them.
Of the year.
They're not your friends.
They're not really my friends. They're business associates. We have shared interests. We just talk about money. We laugh over bourbon.
I feel like it's probably... Oh my God. I feel like it's probably more necessary to be able to say
either.
To say those things once you have kids, though, right? Because your time, your availability just goes out the door. And now there's further responsibility.
I don't know. Our maids and servants
fair.
Take care of the kids.
Fair.
Number five is, I miss you. That's a nice thing to say when your spouse is gone. Do you ever say this to your spouse?
My spouse isn't that... We're not apart from each other very much.
Sounds like
I mean, other than...
Pre-marriage thing.
Feeling very much like we're apart all the time because we're always going back and forth with other kid responsibilities. But I don't know how to say this in a way that doesn't sound offensive. Like,
just say it.
We're not apart enough for me to miss him.
That's offensive.
It's pretty offensive.
Sorry, Jared. I'm pretty sure he'd say the same thing about me.
This one is scary, and I hate that it's on the list, but it's probably true. Can we talk?
Ooh.
I hate hearing can we talk.
You basically are hearing you're in the doghouse.
No, it's just...
Something happened.
We got to talk about
up.
Something.
Yep.
We got to address something. And I'm like, if I don't know what it is, then I'm really
stressing.
Scared.
If they switch can we need to... It gets way worse.
Hey, we need to go to break. Ryan, can we talk?
On the break.
We will. Everybody say bye to Ryan.
Bye.
Hi, Ryan. It's been a pleasure.
Congresswoman Mary Miller next.